Continue with this series of the founding fathers at Genesis 27, where Isaac blesses Jacob. It says this: "When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, to him. 'My son,' he answered. 'Here I am,' he said. 'Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare for me delicious foods, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may be blessed before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, 'I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare me delicious food, that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good goats, that I may prepare them for delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that it may bless you before he dies.' But Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, 'Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring him a curse upon myself, and not a blessing.' His mother said to him, 'Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go and bring them to me.' So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her oldest son, which were in his house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goat she put on his hands and the smooth parts of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done you what you told me. Now sit up and eat my game, that your soul may be blessed, and you may bless me.' But Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found so quickly, my son?' He answered, 'Because the Lord your God has granted me success.' Then Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near, that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not.' So Jacob went near to his father, and he felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' And he did not recognize him, because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, 'Are you really my son Esau?' He answered, 'I am.' Then he said, 'Bring it near to me, that I may eat my son's game and bless you.' So he brought them near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come near and kiss me, my son.' So they came near and kissed him. And Isaac smelled the smell of his garments, and blessed him and said, 'See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of the heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be every one who curses you, and blessed to every one who blesses you.'" The soap opera so far.
Isaac is training like his dad. The director has sent him out to a desolate land. He fears his enemy and lies and covers up his wife's true identity. Despite his deceit, he becomes wealthy right under Abimelech's nose. Enraged with jealousy, Abimelech runs Isaac and wife out of town. Forced to move on time after time, they eventually settle. Seeing Abimelech appear again, he wondered how much longer this harassed guy is going to be again. Yet he comes in peace, and a contract is drawn up, and they leave each other alone. Finally, he can get on with his work, and now all he has to do is sort out his oldest son Esau and those two annoying daughters-in-laws. Canaanation Street. As with all good soap operas, it's full of intrigue, drama, family feuds, suspense, one getting one over each other, lies, deceit. And here in this story, it's exactly the same. Let me ask you one question before we start. How manipulative are you? How manipulative are you? You see, there's four characters in this main soap opera. There's three men, and one good-looking lady. Now, there's a group of four that I know very well of the same issue, but their names never came. I think it was the good-looking lady that God didn't speak to me about. You see, our first character is Jacob. Now, this guy's a bit of a sneak. He's a weasel. He's the Del Boy of Canaan. He's a grabber. He's the guy that sends his grandma off for a profit. Exploits situations for his own gain. A wheeler dealer. Works the angles. A professional liar. His only concern is getting caught, not the deception itself. We move on to Esau. Now, this guy ain't exactly the sharpest tool in the box, okay? If you stand him against the window and blow up his nose, why you would do that, I don't know, but go with me on this. If you blow up his nose, the breeze out of his ears would rattle the curtains. There's nothing up there, you know what I mean? When you first read the story, you think he's actually quite the primary concern in here. He's the victim, but actually he's as guilty as the rest. You see, he marries two Hittite girls to start with, going against all the family tradition, and goes against all the instructions his granddad Abe gave him. He had no objection to secret meetings either with his dad, to be blessed, because a blessing actually is supposed to be a family occasion. And let's not get mixed up between birthright and blessing here. Birthright is one thing where the eldest inherits. Blessing is where the entire family comes round the dying man's bed normally. It's normally the will as we know it these days. And that's what the blessing is, where he gets divided up into those people in the family. And what Esau does, it gives his birthright away for instant gratification, a bowl of stew. Now let's move on to Rebecca. A bit of a stunner. But like her mother-in-law Sarah, hears God's promise but refuses to trust its outcome. And taking matters into her own hands. See, she's not trying to fulfill some divine command here. I mean, she doesn't pray for God for guidance in any of this. She doesn't even reason with Isaac. Instead, she goes for deception. You can imagine Esau sitting across the room, sharpening his 10-inch hunting blade quietly, glazing across the room, looking at Jacob, as he bakes fairy cakes with his mother, and think, no way. And Rebecca's thinking, there is no way Esau is going to inherit my family business. This testosterone-grown ape. And on top of it all, she's got to get on with these two daughter-in-laws. Isaac. Now, Isaac, you think, is the innocent party in all this. Let's face it, he's on his deathbed. But he's as guilty as the rest. He manipulates situations just as the other three do. Just like Rebecca, he favours one son. He sees Esau, his eldest, as a man's man, the hunter, the gatherer. He sees Jacob as a mommy's boy. And as I said before, a blessing was supposed to be a family occasion, just as his dad did previously. See, all Isaac did was brought tension and division into his family by his actions. But you know, in the midst of all this going on, in the background, there's somebody sitting there controlling it all. The writer and director of this soap opera is sitting there manipulating the scenarios for his own good. That guy is called God. And actually, you don't actually see God involved in all of this. It actually till Genesis chapter 28 when he really gets involved. Because when you read this, it feels very human. It feels very secular. It feels very worldly. And you think to yourself, where is God in all this? He's in total control. Though you do not see him, he is in total control. See, all the characters here descend from Adam and Eve. Each one frail, each one frail, each one vulnerable, and each one sinful. Yet God the director has a plan for all these people, that they should be blessed and be a blessing. The question we throw at ourselves is, how on earth can God work with such people? See, all through history we come across people like Isaac, like Rebecca, like Jacob, and yes, even Esau. In fact, the whole world, since Adam and Eve, is full of Isaacs, Rebeccas, Jacobs, and yes, even Esau's. All sinful, all rebellious. Yet God works through these people, day in, day out, day in, day out, to achieve his purposes. And of course, the most notorious story we will ever come across is in the New Testament itself. The death of Jesus. The most immoral, barbaric, cruel death, instigated out of man's jealousy. Yet there was never a moment in any of this where God wasn't in control of it. He was manipulating that situation for his purposes. From the beginning of time, God has planned and manipulated situations to bring about the most historical moment that we know, and that is the cross. Acts 2:23 says, the cross is a result of both human sinful nature and a divine will. It's sinful human nature and a divine will. And that is what the cross stands for. You see, we can look at the world in two perspectives. We can look at it as a human perspective, and we can look at it as a godly perspective. Because when we look at it as a human perspective, the world is a right mess. Full of wars, full of strife, full of famine, full of disease, full of arguing, full of manipulation, full of families that don't get on with each other. The world's full of Rebeccas, Isaacs, Jacob's, and even Esau's. Yet, you know, God created this world good. God created this world good, using humans in their sinful ways to bring about his purposes. We may not understand it. We may question it. But, you know, God manipulates it in that way. And you know what? We should take comfort in the fact that he is doing it. He is in total and control of all that's going on. He's sitting there moving chess pieces here and there. That's how I've got a picture of it. For the one aim. Remember, God chose us. Warts and all. Showed his love to us by the cross. He made his purpose to make everybody complete in Christ. And his faithfulness brings us about that purpose. God's purpose will be complete, not because of us, but despite of us. Our future is tied up in his hands. Despite being tainted like Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and even Esau. As God the writer, the director, and the manipulator looks down upon the Isaacs, Rebekahs, and Jacobs, and Esaus of this world, and in this room itself, we have choices, basically. It comes down that we have choices. Because every choice has a consequence, whether it's a bad choice or a good choice. It has a bad consequence or a bad consequence. And we'll see these consequences unfold as we go later on into the series of Founding Fathers. I'll ask again, how manipulative are you? In this soap opera called Life, how manipulative are you? Do you go for the short-term, quick fix, instant gratification bowl of stew? Or do you manipulate situations that inheritance is rightfully yours and mine? Do you manipulate situations where you continually deceive, exploit, cheat, lie, get self-gain, despite the consequences? Or do you manipulate situations where your concern is truth, honour, humility, an eye and a heart for others, despite the consequences? Do you manipulate situations where you favour one person over another? Or do you manipulate situations where everybody's equal, as it is in God's eyes? And finally, do you manipulate situations where you're taking things into your own hands, trying to do things under your own strength? Or do you manipulate situations where you trust in the writer and the director of your life, praying for guidance in all situations? How manipulative are you? Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we want to thank you that you are holy. You are perfect in every way. And we come to you this morning, sinful, rebellious, dirty rags. Your heart and your hand reach out to us all the time. Because you don't see that. You see people who are cleansed, righteous, wearing kingly robes, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, so we can come towards you this morning now, confident because of the cross. And Lord, we want to say sorry for our sins today. We want to say sorry that we've rebelled against you once more. And we thank you that your hand reaches out to us once again and takes us on for the rest of the week. Let us be a people who manipulate situations, not for our own use, our own gain, our own wants, but let us be a people who manipulate situations to bring a glory into this world, where, Holy Spirit, you are seen and felt through us, and we bless people through you in all our actions. Let our eyes be fixed upon you this week, Lord, as we go ahead, and know that you are beside us every step of the way. Let our hearts and minds be transformed more into your likeness and draw us near. And let us just continue to be your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.